Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Talk about the need to replace the Brent Spence Bridge has been going on for years. This I-71-75 span was designed to handle 80,000 vehicles a day, but now more than 160,000 cross it daily. It's considered functionally obsolete, but the price tag to build a new bridge is at least $2.7 billion, and that money so far has not been found. This morning, we're going to talk about the bridge project and where it stands right now. Joining me are counsel for the Build Our Bridge Now Coalition, attorney Tom Gabelman, deputy director of the Ohio Department of Transportation, District 8, Steve Mary, and Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Chief District Engineer for District 6, Rob Hands. We'd like to hear your questions and comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
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 Certainly glad to have you all here. I think one thing that we can all agree on, and I think that all people agree on, is that the Brent Spence Bridge is overtaxed right now and overtaxed with vehicles, and that it has, something has to be done. And I think that's been true. Would you all say that even everybody you talk to who disagree about aspects of it agree with that?
There's no question that the bridge needs to be replaced. We need a new bridge. And as you point out in your opening remarks, Marianne, it's right now it's at twice the capacity in terms of number of vehicles. It's at four times the capacity in terms of the number of freight vehicles that cross it every day. So it's overtaxed, it's functionally obsolete, and it's unsafe. Anybody that travels that bridge knows that it's unsafe. And the coalition was formed to work with both ODOT and Kentucky Transportation to advance this project, to get it built sooner, get it built cheaper, with the most benefit to our community.
You guys agree?
I agree. And one thing I would add is we always talk about the Brent Spence Bridge replacement project. It's a rehabilitation of the whole corridor. We are looking at 8 miles of reconstruction of Interstate 75, 71, from south of Dixie Highway Interchange in Kentucky to all the way north of the Western Hills Viaduct in Ohio. So not only will we be replacing the congestion point, the pinch point at the river, we will be enhancing that. We will be improving the whole corridor and allowing motorist free flow traffic free flow throughout the whole stretch of the interstate.
Steve?
Certainly it is a safety is a huge component of this project. You're 3 to 5 times more likely to be involved in an accident in this corridor than other parts of Kentucky and Ohio in the interstate system. So safety is certainly a big concern. Time, you know, I mean, people are congested and there's tied up in traffic every day. There's congestion. And so this project will certainly relieve congestion. That'll help businesses and things with better travel reliability to get across the river. We're basically going to double the number of lanes across the Ohio River with this project. So certainly that's going to ease congestion. And the other thing is, you know, it's money. You know, we talked about the $2.5 to $2.7 billion project. And so, you know, it's also vital to our economy. And it's the money is the economy, the jobs that this project can create and help the whole area. About 3% of our gross national product crosses this bridge every year in the way of freight. So it is certainly vital not only to Ohio and Kentucky, but to the whole region.
Yeah, and that's where we are today, just in terms of the congestion that exists today. And if you go forward less than 10 years, the traffic across that bridge doubles and the congestion doubles and we will have gridlock. So it'll take an hour to an hour and a half to go from the airport to downtown, an hour and a half to go from Kings Island through the corridor. In each of those, and eventually, with that gridlock, the freight corridor will move, and we will suffer economically as a result of that.
Well, let's talk about where things stand right now. And we all, as you said, agree something needs to be done. Our plans approved the plans? I know there have been a variety of plans that have been talked about over the years. Is there a set of plans that everybody agrees on at this point?
There has been a selected alternative. It's alternative I, and you can view that alternative on the Brent Spence Bridge website.
And we have links to those on our website at the Impact website, wvxu.org.
Correct. So we have advanced that alternative forward. It was selected as a preferred. We have an approved environmental document following the federal process that was completed back in July of last year. So we have the selected mechanism that we need to advance a project forward. We know what we want to construct. The challenge now is how do we fund that needed project. And that's what the ongoing study that ODOT and KYTC have engaged a consultant, HNTB, to do what we call a value for money study. It's an options analysis, looking at what scenarios we have available to us in today's processes, what options for obtaining that fund, those funds.
And I think some folks say that should just be government funding and government takes care of these projects. What happens if you wait for the government to fund it? What's the status on that? Because I don't think there's any money in any budget right now.
Well, the federal gas tax money is just not enough for Ohio or Kentucky to build this project currently. We could put all of our money together both from both states and there wouldn't be enough money to fund this bridge. And that would be doing nothing else in either Kentucky or Ohio. And obviously, on the Ohio side, we have a process that we go by to actually improve all of our major interstates and our major construction projects, go through a committee that approves those. And the Brent Spence Bridge the money's not there for those projects. We're looking for money for a lot of different projects. And so the federal gas tax formula just doesn't provide enough money for either state at this point. So we have to look at something innovative to be able to come up with additional funds.
And the bottom line is, if you wait, it'll be 2040, maybe, before this bridge is built. And that $2.7 billion cost probably triples. And in the meantime, this entire region suffers. And that's the difference.
So we've got the Build Our Bridge Now Coalition, Build This Bridge Now. Tell us, Tom, a little bit about the coalition, who's a part of that, and what you're trying to do.
And the coalition was formed a little over a year ago, and right now it is over 200 members strong. It's composed of the business and community and labor leaders throughout Ohio and Kentucky. It has raised close to $2 million to date to advocate for the Brent Spence Bridge Corridor Project. And to educate the community on the need to replace the bridge and the ways in which it can be replaced in an innovative way that at the end of the day will in fact save taxpayers millions, hundreds of millions of dollars if we move forward with the project now as opposed to waiting for some federal funding formula to work by 2040. And the way to move it forward now and what we've advocated for some time now is an innovative way to design and build and maintain and operate the bridge through public-private partnerships.
Explain what that is. What is a public-private partnership?
Basically, a public-private partnership is an agreement between the public entity. In this case, it would be the Ohio Department of Transportation and the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet that will work with a private entity. And the primary difference, and that's happened for years to have projects built throughout our country that public entities contract with private entities. The primary difference is with a private entity involved in the project in a public-private partnership, you're putting private dollars into the project a lot of times up front and throughout construction, and you also shift the allocation of responsibility between the two parties more and more so to the private sector. So you advance the design, the construction, to do it in a more efficient way, and by having those private capital dollars available first, you can then move the construction up in time so that right now, a year ago, we weren't talking about trying to build this bridge and put a shovel in the ground in 2014 and 2015. The Ohio and Kentucky governors came together in December of this year, signed a memorandum of understanding and said, we're going to get a shovel in the ground in 2014 or 2015. This isn't going to be put off for decades. And the way to do that, there's two primary ways, design, build, and also public-private partnerships that use design, build, project delivery.
Well, you say that you've raised about $2 million so far. When you talk about a $2.7 billion project with a B, that doesn't sound like a lot of money.
No, well, we're not there to design and engineer and to construct the bridge, but we are there to have this community in this region get behind advancing this bridge. Because up to this point, as you pointed out, it has languished for years. It's been on the drawing boards, but it hasn't moved forward in terms of construction. And right now, $0 are allocated to construction. So we've talked about some of all the negative things that happen if we don't move forward with this. The positive things, if we do move forward, in terms of the number of jobs that are created, 24,000 to 30,000 jobs are created during construction. It has a $5 billion impact on our region right here by moving forward with this. So there's a lot of positive reasons why we need to move forward with this project.
Then there's that T word that everybody has an opinion about. Lots of people for tolls, lots of people against tolls. What's the status of considering tolls for the bridge?
Well, to build on what Tom just talked about the public-private partnerships, P3, design-build options, that is what the study that is currently active right now by the two agencies, that is what we're determining. What is the mechanism to bring the revenue needed to pay for the dollars, the billions of dollars that we need to build the project? How do we repay that? And one of the pieces is we're looking at, can we do design build and use public funding where it'd be obtaining bonds, but those bonds would have to be repaid. We also have federal loans that could be obtained. We're evaluating all those options. And then the other option is evaluating private funding where a private entity could upfront the necessary funds, and then the agencies would have to repay that debt as well. Currently, the only way we see to repay these debts, these loans or borrowing of money, would be to generate a revenue stream with a user fee or a toll where the users of the corridor that are gaining the benefit of having a free-flowing, safe corridor would pay for the use of that corridor, and then that would allow the agencies to repay the debt to obtain the money to build the project.
Toll. Steve, your thoughts?
Well, the governors have been very clear, on both from Kentucky and Ohio, that tolls have to be part of the solution. They're not necessarily the whole in solution. There certainly will be gas tax, federal gas tax and state gas tax from both states involved with this. As Rob said, there'll probably be some kind of a federal loan to the states that'll have to be applied for here in the future to fund this project. But it'll be a number of different funding sources to be able to pull this project off.
This question comes from Paul, who says, with all the talk about various funding avenues, what's the reason neither Ohio nor Kentucky did not take advantage of President Obama's offer? He made the offer on national TV in front of the Brent Spence Bridge, yet I don't think any of our elected representatives voted for the project.
Right. That offer was made 2 years ago in terms of the overall project. But in terms of federal transportation funding, as Steve really outlined, if you look at where it is going into 2015 and 2016, it goes into the red, absent a change at the federal level. So where we are in terms of the coalition's efforts, we're saying absolutely this bridge should have federal and state funding allocated to it. And all the other sources of funding that should be looked at and on the table to fund this project. And user fees are ones, or tolls, as Rob talked about, are a potential source of funding that should be looked at. And the coalition is simply saying at this point, we should be looking at all the funding sources and then look at those in the context of the overall project and say what makes the most sense for our community as a whole in order to build this bridge.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking this morning about the Brent Spence Bridge and a possible replacement for it and a corridor project through that area. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. You can email impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from the Mayors and JCC, presenting popular Broadway and TV star Bebe Neuwirth on stage Saturday night, March 9th, at the School for Creative and Performing Arts. This award-winning actress, singer, and dancer is in Cincinnati for this one special night. Tickets are available online at jointhej.org.
Support comes from 20th Century Cincinnati, the Queen City's annual retrospective of vintage modern design, February 23rd and 24th at the Sharonville Convention Center. Over 60 dealers present authentic art, furnishings, and fashion from the Art Deco, Machine Age, Mid-Century, and Pop Art eras. Information at queencityshows.com.
Support comes from the Miami University MBA program, home to the top-ranked part-time MBA program in the region. With an accelerated format, small, engaging classes, and a convenient location in Westchester, you can learn more at their March 5th info session. More online at mba.miamioh.edu.
This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking this morning about the Brent Spence Bridge. My guest, we have Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Chief District Engineer for District 6, Rob Hands, Deputy Director of the Ohio Department of Transportation District 8, Steve Mary, and Counsel for the Build Our Bridge Now Coalition, Attorney Tom Gabelman. If you have a question and or a comment, you can email us, impact@wvxu.org, or post it on our Facebook page. And I want to get to a number of the questions that we have already this morning. And perhaps you can answer this one, Rob. Somebody was talking, you were talking about the whole corridor and how things were going to change. This comes from Ken, who says, how will the surface streets of Covington, Newport, and Cincinnati, not to mention the other bridges, handle all the local traffic seeking to avoid tolls if they're put on the Brent Spence?
That's a very good question, and that is part of our study that is occurring right now, where we look at the options for funding the project, which tolls are a component of the available funding. What we do is we want to minimize the tolls, so we minimize diversion. We do not want traffic looking at alternative routes, because we have projected what the current traffic volumes are, well over 160,000 vehicles a day, estimates are 172,000. Our projected future ADTs, average daily traffic, is around 230,000 vehicles a day, potentially more with the trucking industry growing. Panama Canal is improving. We expect a lot more traffic, truck traffic through the corridor. So we want to keep the traffic that we've projected that will be utilizing this improved corridor on the corridor. So we are evaluating diversion, evaluating the toll, potential tolls, trying to minimize those. We will be looking at all the surface streets, all the arterial routes around the interstate, and making sure that if there's impacts to those roadways, that we address those impacts. That would be part of the impact study of the project itself. We look at everything that's impacted.
This is from Adam, who says he sort of wondered the same thing that Ken asked about the 275 to 471 interchange, avoiding people diverting, and how those ramps will be able to handle the increased traffic. He also wants to know, where will the booths or scanners or whatever is used to collect the tolls be located? Is that determined yet?
The toll, there will be no booths or anything where you have to slow down. This will be high-speed, open-road electronic tolling. You'll drive across the bridge at 55 miles an hour. A lot of places, especially in the northeast of our country, has what we call Easy Pass, which is the same thing. It's on the Ohio Turnpike. Basically, it's a sticker on your windshield. There's scanners that read that, and that can be, the toll can be collected that way. If you don't have an Easy Pass, then it reads your license plate and can send you a bill. And that happens in many places.
Do people pay those bills?
Yeah. I work with a fellow that was down in the Tampa, Florida area for spring break last year. He drove the Selman Parkway three times. He got back about 3 weeks later. He got a bill for $5.15. So, I mean, it's common in other places. It's just not common here in Ohio.
It just seems to me people would just avoid paying that money, and then you'd have to go down and you're going to chase people down for $5. I don't know. It works easier than I think.
Well, the states have reciprocal agreements with the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, and it's collected through that.
And it has worked throughout the country in Texas, Florida, Virginia, where you have the electronic tolling. You don't have the booths, and if you don't happen to have the pass, then you do get billed, and people do pay. And there's a high collection rate.
But
it works.
But that's an important key to this. A lot of people think, oh, we've got to stop at a toll booth and throw in quarters or whatever. There's not going to be any stopping. It's not slowing down. There's no wider pavement areas for, trucks or whatever. You'll drive through at 55, 60 miles an hour. And if you don't read the signs, you won't even actually realize you've went across the toll bridge.
Until you get home and get that bill, right?
Correct.
This is from Susan, who says, a few years ago, a bridge fell down in Minneapolis. It seems they got a new bridge very quickly. If that's correct, how was that bridge funded?
That was rather amazing. And actually, it's a good case study for what could happen here when there is political will behind a project. The I-35 collapsed at rush hour, and there were 13 fatalities as a result of that. That bridge, somewhat similar to the Brent Spence, was built in 1967. It was functionally obsolete. It had some structural deficiencies in it, and it did collapse. And rather amazingly, all of the congressmen and senators came together along with the president, and within 90 days, that bridge was under construction and fully funded. That was back in 2007, when there was federal funding available in order to fund the project, which was about $650 million, and it was primarily federally funded at that point in time.
But is that because tragedy really spurs people to action in a way that bridge is not going to, as long as it's still working, it's still standing, it's not going to spur that kind of action?
And that's our point exactly. We don't want to wait for a further tragedy. I mean, as Steve pointed out in his opening remarks, you're 5 to 6 times more likely to have an accident on that bridge than anywhere else in Ohio and Kentucky. We've had 3 fatalities within the last 5 years on that bridge. It's not safe. It needs to be replaced. And we don't need to wait for a tragedy like Minnesota for this to happen here.
Is it structurally sound right now?
Yes, it is structurally sound. If there were any structural deficiencies, of course the agencies would be addressing those. To kind of add to that, the statement of being structurally sound, part of the alternative I configuration is to keep the Brent Spence Bridge in service. We will be constructing a new bridge to the west of the existing Brent Spence to carry some of the additional traffic. Steve had mentioned we're doubling the number of lanes crossing the river. There'll be 16 lanes crossing at the Ohio River, carrying local traffic, I-71 traffic, and 75 traffic, all separated into their components. So we're helping to provide smoother mobility without all the weaving issues and the ramp connections that we have today. But the existing Brent Spence will be rehabilitated. A new roadway deck will be installed, but the structure itself will be utilized in the new configuration.
What about the bridge now has two decks? Will the new bridge have two decks, one on top of the other as well?
Yes.
Same idea?
Yes. Correct. And the reason for that is we're trying to minimize impacts. We are making the corridor as tight as we can so we don't have impacts to private properties, the taking of the businesses, and an additional right-of-way that we will be needing for the improved corridor. We do have to obtain some, but we're trying to minimize that impact.
This question's from Joe, who says, has anyone done a study to compare the benefits of using the $3 billion bridge replacement cost to instead create alternative forms of transportation that would reduce volume on the Brent Spence instead of replacing it with a higher volume bridge? For example, could the current bridge continue to be useful if alternatives like a comprehensive regional light rail system were to reduce traffic volume enough that the Brent Spence and other local bridges all had significantly less traffic?
There was a light rail system that was discussed some time ago in the Ohio area from Cincinnati, north even looking at Kings Island and going even north to Columbus, but that cost was substantially higher than what would be the money for the Brent Spence Bridge.
And it also looked at extending south out to the airport, right. And the public's opinion of that light rail was not good. So there was determinations that wasn't the mechanism that the region or the community wanted to move forward with. So that is at the same time when we started looking at the I-75-71 corridor for highway improvement needs. And based on our traffic volumes today and the projected future traffic, we know that we need to enhance the interstate system.
We've talked a little bit about the tolls. Let's talk about what the actual cost would be. I assume you don't know that yet, but can you give a range? I mean, is it $1 to cross the bridge? Is it 50 cents? Is it $5 to cross the bridge?
The value for money analysis is ongoing right now, so we don't know what the tolls will be. As Rob said before, we want to minimize tolls to minimize diversion, to make it as cheap as possible to cross the bridge, but we also have to make it financially feasible to build this project. So the range that the consultants are looking at is anywhere from $1 to $5, but it'll probably be toward the lower end of that.
When you talk about tolls, and somebody has to approve this, somebody has to say, yes, you can go ahead with that, and I assume Kentucky owns the bridge, is that right? Isn't that usually Kentucky owns all the bridges? So what role will the Kentucky legislature have to play in this in terms of approving tolling or a financing package to move forward?
There would have to be legislation, a bill introduced that would allow the Transportation Cabinet or the state of Kentucky to look at alternative options. Public-private partnerships could be one. The tolling aspect would be another piece of legislation that would have to be passed by the Kentucky legislature to allow the state to move forward with tolling of the corridor.
Are there any legislators at this point that are willing to shepherd that kind of legislation through the state, the House?
I do know that there was a bill introduced in legislature Tuesday, looking at P3 options for all state type of projects, not specifically for the Brent Spence Bridge or this project. It was just looking at public-private partnership aspects in the state of Kentucky. That has been introduced into the House. I do not know what the status will be of that, but that has been introduced.
That's House Bill 456, which was introduced. It's called Advancing Kentucky Act. And what that does, it does put public-private partnership. It gives Kentucky the ability to use public-private partnership on major transportation projects. Ohio right now has legislation in place that allows them to use that innovative way of delivering projects. Kentucky does not. And so the coalition has pushed very hard to have that legislation introduced, and it was sponsored by Senator Sandy Overly, and it is moving forward in committee next week. So that puts one more tool in the toolbox for Kentucky to use in order to move this whole project forward. And it's House Bill 456.
Louisville's getting a new bridge. Is that bridge tolled?
Yes.
The project, which is a combination of two bridges, there's an East End bridge and a downtown bridge. Both of those new bridges will have a toll implemented. Kentucky is managing the downtown bridge and going to manage the construction of that piece. Indiana is working on the East End bridge, so the I-265 outer belt loop. But both of those new crossings will have a toll implemented.
And those are not public-private partnerships then, if there's no legislation in Kentucky to approve them?
Indiana is moving forward with a P3 package. Kentucky is moving forward with a design build, publicly funded with bonds, and then the repayment of those bonds will be by the toll revenue. But each state is implementing different options, different delivery methods for the construction of that project.
But you would need a separate legislation then for the Brent Spence, because the legislation is different, or because each project needs its own legislation?
The way the current legislation that is written is allowing the Louisville Bridges Project to move forward has specific language for the Louisville, Indiana area. There would have to be new legislation for the Brent Spence Bridge Project, yes.
Right. There was targeted legislation that was passed back in 2009 just for the Louisville Bridges. And it was rather interesting, the difference there on the design build bridge. And both of these bridges are moving forward and are scheduled to be completed by 2016. But both bridges came in under their engineer estimates that tells you this is the right time to go out into the market to build mega projects like this. The design build bridge hit about a $90 million savings on a $900 million cost. The P3, the public-private partnership, had a $230 million or 27% savings on a $900, $950 million cost. So the savings are real, the dollars are real, that can be achieved by using these innovative project delivery methods.
Now, if you want to move forward at this point, you've got these studies going on. When are they going to be completed, and what's the next step? When can action actually, other than the Kentucky legislature, what can take place?
The value for money analysis is going on currently. We hope that we'll have more information as it moves forward. Hopefully by the end of March, early April, we'll have really a final report for the value for money analysis. Then there will be other steps beyond that to actually get a project moving forward if legislation is in place. But we're hoping to get to construction at the end of 2014 or early 2015.
And to add with that study, the final report of the study is just going to make the recommendations that if we move in this delivery method, this option, we can start the project in X date and we'll need X amount of revenue. It'll just give us all the parameters that we need for each delivery option. So that report will be available, as Steve said, late March, early April. The next steps would be to share that with the legislature, that then they could act or consider allowing the delivery methods that we indicate are the best or the preferred delivery method, and then we can move that forward. And then hopefully, as Steve said, get the project under construction as soon as possible.
I want to have you all back as we get closer. We're out of time today. Thanks so much for being here.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. My guests today were counsel for the Build Our Bridge Now Coalition, Attorney Tom Gabelman, Deputy Director of the Ohio Department of Transportation, District 8, Steve Mary, and Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Chief District Engineer for District 6, Rob Hands. Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier, and links to all of the topics and the groups that they were talking about today are available on our website as well on the impact page of WVXU.org.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.